Thank you very much, Mr. Dean, for the session, the committee, for the invitation to come and to give a word of testimony this evening to what the Lord has done for me and is still doing. He was saying about, I think, a wee bit of a problem with the first hymn. This often happens, you know. I was taking the meetings in Bridlington at New Year, and there was no organist. And one of my ambitions was always to be a lead singer, but I'm a horrible singer. But that ambition was fulfilled. I had to do all the leading of the singing. I mean, it wasn't all that pleasant. So it was very difficult indeed. That tonight was nothing compared to it. And we do not appreciate our music enough. You don't appreciate the wells of the water runs dry. I always thank God for the music, even now. So it's much appreciated. And just on that theme, the last time I was here, I was doing a deputation meeting for the work in the Isle of Man. I was over there in the Isle of Man just the week before Christmas. And the Lord was blessed, and there was a good, it was like revival. There was 12 in the morning and 11 at night. And that was really tremendous, and we had a blessed time. And of course, it was over in Bridlington as well, and they have about the same amount of people. But when you look around our churches in the mainland, and you can see the congregations, no minister in them, surely it should awaken us to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send reapers. He will send laborers. He will send workers. You've been hearing preaching about prayer over this last few weeks. This is a chance to put it into reality. To really pray that the Lord would raise up young men to go into the ministry. We need young men to go in to learn God's word, to be taught of God's word. We have great opportunities in the Whitfield College of the Bible, where there's lectures there to be able to teach how we need ministers in these churches. What will it be like in the years to come if there's nobody goes into the college? We'll have nobody to bring God's word. We'll be there, just have our same churches. We'll have no ministers to send out to these places, no outreach works. In the Isle of Man, we need a young person to go out there for 6 months and to help in the work. Let us all pray that the Lord would really move upon the hearts of our young men to send them into the ministry. And of course, in the missionary work as well, for young men and young ladies to go to the college and to go out as missionaries. A whole big wide world. People going to hell, going to a lost eternity. And sometimes we can be at ease. We can have our good jobs. There's nothing wrong with a good job. There's nothing wrong with a good house. But sometimes it can take first place. The Lord wants us to be warriors, prayer warriors. He wants us to be doers. And I pray that the Lord will so speak to someone's heart even tonight, even to go in to God's work and service. It's a wonderful thing to be in the work of the Lord. It's an exciting thing, God's work. And I can start and tell you some stories, even though this happened during my journeys across the water, and how the Lord, I'm a very bad traveller, I always get lost, and how the Lord always provides someone, somewhere, to help me along. It's really exciting to be in the service and in the work of God. I'd like you to open your Bibles at Luke chapter 15, please. And we'll commence at verse 11. This is a well-known parable. And of course, if you brought up through the Sunday schools, you know what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
The Lord knew from the very beginning what was going to take place. God knew that there was going to be incidents like this in someone's life. And this is why it's told, so that people could understand. And remember the people who were here. The very first verse says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." People came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. All sorts of people. All the wicked sinners you could find. All the good people. The middle of the road people. They all came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ because they heard about him. They knew there was something special about Jesus of Nazareth. That he was the Son of God. And with the miracles that he done, people knew exactly who he was. Of course, there's many people who didn't want to believe. But it was there. The people saw the blind able to see, the deaf able to hear, the lame able to walk, the dead raised up again from the dead. So we read verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough unto spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Ending at verse 24, knowing of assurance the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his holy and inspired word. Just a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we have thy word before us. We'll pray that thou will bless it each and every one of our hearts. We do pray for the Holy Ghost to come, to interpret it to every one of us, that he will teach us wonderful things from it. And if there's anyone in this meeting not saved, we'll pray that the Holy Ghost will so work in their hearts, bring them to the place of repentance, will they forsake all and follow thee. Oh, we'll pray that thou'll save the sinner tonight. We think of thy people gathered here. We'll pray that there'll be a word of encouragement from this treasure chest this evening. And we'll pray that thou will strengthen them, that thou will encourage them, thou will help them and give them a real burden for the lost. Give them a real burden for their families. And we'll all be blessed and edified this evening. Hide man behind the cross. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I was born in County Down in the 40s, at a brief while ago. And I was just like the prodigal son. He had a family, and as you read it and you look at it, you see that he was a good family. They had everything that he needed. And I was the same. I had a good family. I know in those days there wasn't as much money about as there is now. But we had happy times. And I was born in a house which was in the River Bann. And our house was actually in it. And even in floods, whenever there's heavy rain, the water used to come up about that much to the bedroom window. But we were that used to it. And of course, my mother and father were both Christians, and they believed and they prayed and had the faith, and it never worried us. And it was great if we weren't well. When the river was sick, used to bring the fishing rod and put it out to the window and do a bit of fishing. Because I had loved fishing whenever I was young. And I remember my mother and father, they weren't altogether that overly strict, but there's certain things that we were taught. We were taught from God's word and the commandments. And we were to keep the commandments. We weren't allowed to watch television on the Lord's Day. Although many of the time, whenever they were out, we'd certainly done it. The only problem was when they came back very quick. In those days, there used to be a wee star coming to television. And you had to stand in front of it just in case they saw the wee star. It took about 4 or 5 minutes for it to go away. And another one was I wasn't allowed to fish on the Lord's Day. But I remember whenever I was, must have been about 9 or so, and there's a man that came up and he had a motorbike in his sidecar, and he was a great fisherman. So I watched him afar off in the bank, Harry, you call him, a good friend. Then I gradually made my way down beside Harry, and I remember this Sunday. And I said to Harry, he says, "Hey, Harry, would you let me have a few casts?" He says, "No, no." This man was brought up a Roman Catholic, and yet he knew that my father and mother were Christians, and he didn't allow me. He says, "No, John," but I went on and yapped at him on and on, looked up into his eyes, and he said, "All right, John, he's just a few casts." So I was fishing away, and all of a sudden, I hit this big fish, and it must have been about that size. Well, I suppose it was about that size, but that was big for me. And I got this fish on Harry terrain, and he tried to get into my net, and he missed it. Oh, it was terrible excitement. And then all of a sudden, bang, the fish got away. I sat down in that bank, and I cried my eyes out. I was disappointed. And for the boys and girls here tonight, and that's just the same one happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God said, "Eat of any tree, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Oh, but you know, the old devil came and said to Eve, and then Eve ate off it and gave to Adam, and Adam ate off it, and then they became a sinner. That's why we're all born in sin. That's why we're preaching the gospel tonight. Because what Adam and Eve done in the Garden of Eden, sinned against God. And you know, whenever God put them out of the garden, what disappointment there was in their hearts. You see, sin always brings disappointment. It might be good at the time, but then something happens and it's nothing but disappointment. Whenever I reached about 11 years of age, 10 years of age, my brother, he worked in a grocery shop in Bonbridge. And there was people leaving in that establishment, and they liked gambling. And of course, whenever the Grand National came along, and my brother was always talking it, I always had that wee bit of money on the Grand National. Now, every time I done it, I always won. And whenever I came to 11, I start 12 years of age, I started to work in a draper shop. And then my brother joined the army, and I went and got his job. And that meant I was in an environment which liked gambling. And of course, every Saturday when and then, I always loved to gamble. And it was all right for a few weeks. There was always money came back to me. And I said, "Oh, this is an easy way to make money." Sounded a good way. Because I was always getting back more than I put in. So what was wrong with this? But then, one day he came back. The father said, "John, you have no money." I couldn't believe in this. I was disappointed. I'd actually lost. But that didn't stop me. You would have thought I should have stopped then. But I didn't. And I went on. And then, when I come to 15, I started to work. And when I was 16 years of age, I started to play rugby. I always liked rugby, and I played for Bonbridge Town. And remember one night and after training, there was one of the players said to me, "John, what about going over to England for a bit of adventure?" But I was always one, I always loved adventure. So I said, "All right." And it's just like this parable here tonight that we read. The prodigal son. He had everything that he needed. I had everything that I needed. I had a motor car, everything, a good bed, a lovely home, plenty to eat, everything that I needed. But it wasn't satisfying. Same with this man. Remember, this man had two sons. One was all right, he was satisfied. See, everybody's different. But this other man, he wanted adventure. So he got all of his money and he left. And I'd done the same. I think I had about 30 shillings in my pocket. And that wasn't very much to start a life on with. And it was hard. And it was difficult. They went to different towns. I lived in Liverpool. I know what it's like to live with the down and outs. I lived with the down and outs for a week because I had no money. I had nowhere to go. I know what it's like. That's why today I always have a soft spot for those people who are down and out. I've lived with them. I know their feelings. We should never look down upon them. Souls that need to be saved. Perhaps as the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion. This book tells us of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never look down at them. And I worked in different places. When Northampton, I was in Luton. I just adventured. I just took my bags. And if I didn't fancy the job, I just give in my notice and go to some other town. And then I went to London. And I stayed in London most of the time. And I started out working in different places. And then I started into the public house work. And I became... I was bonded, so I was able to take charge of a public house in London. And well, the first one I worked in was in North London. And it was a very rough, tough place. It used to be gangsters and everything coming. It was really tough. It was a hard place to get your training. But then there was another man, and he wanted me. He wanted me over to the West End. He played football for West Ham United, so this was a great appeal to me. So, of course, I went over to the West End. And there was a different environment. You had pop group stars, you had film stars, you had all sorts of people would come in, and you were meeting in along with them. But let me tell you one thing. The sin in that place, in Islington, and the sin in West End, among all those big high people, is exactly the same. Might have a different clothes on it. It might have an outward look differently. But centre down, it was the same. Whenever I started to work there, my love for gambling really grew, because gambling, even since I was 13 years of age, was the love of my life. I loved it with all my heart. It was so exciting. And whenever I lived in London, I met a lot of people, and they were in greyhound business, and we used to go to greyhounds. And anybody who knows anything about gambling can actually say that it is very wicked. None but frauds. And people may say, "Oh, there's nothing going on." Load of nonsense. So easy to stop the greyhounds. I used to put chains on. We used to go in on Sunday morning and trail the greyhounds. I think probably didn't know what you called it, because it ran under that many different names. That's the way it is. It's so wicked. And you just have to be inside it to really understand it. But this was my life, and this is what I wanted. I remember going to a place in Walthamstow. Now, Walthamstow is a great big greyhound track. And whenever I was going, being brought up in the gospel, I remember there was a man, and he would stand in the island coming out of the tube station into the greyhound track. And he had a scripture code on him. I want you to remember this man as I go on with my testimony tonight. I don't know what he had on, but I knew for certain that it was God's word. Couldn't tell you what it was, but it was God's word. And he was not ashamed to wear it. He had it in his front and on his back. A man must have been about 80, 85 years of age. I never spoke to that man ever. He never spoke to me. Don't even know we got a gospel tract, but that man, I always remember him as I went across that road. And as you'll see later on, a great influence to me. And even as I, many other times, whenever I was in England, I would have heard open-air meetings. And it was just like the parable of the sower. The seed fell by the wayside. The old devil came and took it away. That happened many times. And I would maybe have stood and listened to it. And it was just been like a stony ground. All right for a wee while, but then whenever the sun came and scorched, the seed fell away. And I remember hearing God's word many times as I journeyed and done my work over in England. But you see, the Lord is good. And I remember one time I was in a club in the West End of London. It was one of these high places, and you had to have a kind of password to get in. And I remember the password that night was I had to be a dancer on Fiddler on the Roof. Well, a good job they didn't ask me to dance. They wouldn't have let me in. But I remember I went into that place, and I was so looking forward to it. Oh, it was going to be a great night. And I went in, and I got one of them big things, rolls and sausages and everything, and it was great. And all of a sudden, my mind went back to when I was a young boy in the children's meeting in Lanaderg Old School. And all I could see was the workers there. All I could hear was the singing of the hymns and the choruses and different things. The Lord was speaking to me. The Holy Ghost was working in my heart. I didn't even get finished in that big dog thing. I didn't even get staying. I had to come out of that place. I had to go home. I never got saved that night, but that was a link in the chain. And I always remember that time God spoke to me. Maybe you're not saved in a meeting tonight. Do you ever remember a time that the Holy Ghost came and spoke to you, showed you your sin? But you just let it go and you went on the same way. Then it was the times of the trouble. I got many friends across there. But whenever the trouble came, I thought I would come back. And I came back for a new job, but I wasn't long until I got a job. And it was driving a lorry. And it was the time of the Vanguard meetings. I'm sure some of you would remember the Vanguard meetings. And I went to this meeting, and my brother happened to have got a job as secretary, and he wanted to go out with some leaflets. And I said, yes, I would. And so my job was to drive these two young girls about. So I thought this was going to be a great job. Oh, I'm going to like this. So that was all right, and I brought them out, and they happened to be Quakers. Imagine me getting Quakers. But I brought them out to do the work. And I got very friendly with these two girls. And they used to bring me along to the meetings on a Sunday afternoon. And of course, I just never listened to the meetings at all. Until one time there was a lady preacher. I have to watch this. Well, she was a missionary, and she's Mrs. John Henry Stinton. And she's in the glory now. And I remember she was talking about the Apostle Paul and the race. I always loved athletics when I was young, and I was a good prospect when I was young. I'd never even running for Ireland. But because of my smoking, I started to smoke when I was 13 years of age. And because of my smoking, and at this time, speaking about, I was up to 60 cigarettes a day. I played rugby for Hayes Town. And I used to run about, and the cigarettes were actually killing me. I think I stopped for almost 2 days. that was the most I could do without a cigarette. But here I have in front of a gospel meeting, and this lady was speaking about the race. God was speaking to me. And this was something that really appealed. And I came out of that meeting and I went on my own way. My gambling, I love my gambling. I love the horses and the greyhounds. And I had my friends that I used to knock about with. But then one Saturday, and it was the 19th of July, 1973, and I had my usual bet on the grey, on the horses, and I actually won that day. And I came and went to the wee cottage, and there was only that girl and myself in the house, and the rest of them were away. The Holy Spirit started to work in my heart. And as I faced the Lord there in that cottage that was built by King William's men, and as I sat in it, I saw my sin, what it was. I was going to a lost eternity. I was going to hell. And then I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, his outstretched hand, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That day I was very happy. Up until that moment I was happy in my sin. It wasn't as if anything had happened and it made me sad and I wanted to turn to something. It wasn't that way. God has spoken to me, just like Saul on the road to Damascus. He was happy doing his work, but then God spoke to him. God spoke to me that evening in that cottage. I didn't think of my sin. I didn't think how I was going to give up my smoking, my drinking. I wasn't thinking how I was going to give up the love of my life. I didn't know what I was going to do with my friends that I'd made. I never thought of that. All I could see was my sin. All I could see was my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just got down on my knees and I confessed my sin to God. I repented of my sin. Then I turned from it. Start to walk and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day that was. Sinner friend, and maybe you would love to be saved tonight. And maybe there's things in your life and you find it difficult and you say, "I'll not be able to turn away from those." Do you know something? You're right. So only the Lord Jesus Christ can take away your sin. All you have to do is to come as a sinner to Christ. Come just as you are. Don't think about how you're going to do it. Because whenever I got saved, just like us, prodigal son, he came back. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew what he'd done. He came back to the Father. And he wanted to take one of the lowest positions there was in the household. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, against thee." I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. The burden of my sin rolled away. I wasn't in a church. I had nothing to do with churches. The Lord spoke to me and saved me. What was I going to do about my gambling? You know, the Lord took a desire away from my gambling. I never gambled ever since. And I was a compulsive gambler. I gambled all the time. Not because of necessity, but because of love for it. But now I've found a new love in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Saviour. Give me eternal life. And I just wanted to please him. I just wanted to follow the Lord. Cigarettes that night, it took him I was smoking 60 a day. Couldn't stop them. Ruined my whole sporting career. Threw them in the fire. Never to have another one in my mouth ever since. It was the Lord's doing. He done it. I had nothing to do. The drinking, no public houses, no nothing. All what my life was around public houses and different things. That had all gone. The Lord took care of it. And it's just whenever I think about it, I think of the man in the Gadara. Remember, he used to go about the graveyard cutting himself. And the Lord saved him. And he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to follow thee. But the Lord said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things have been done to you. And whenever I was saved, being someone who loved football and went to all the big stadiums there is in England and different places, what was I going to do? I just started a business of my own then, and I was driving up past Mournview Park. And I thought an idea was start to put gospel tracks on the wipers. I thought this was a great idea. Knowing now, it's not a good idea to put gospel tracks on wipers. And it gets people, it's not a wise way to present the gospel. And some people get annoyed by it. And you have to be wise whenever you're presenting the gospel. But I was driving by, and the next time I decided I would go to the football matches and give the gospel tracks out. And that's what I done. That was over 30 years ago. And we got a house just right opposite the front gate of the stadium. And there for over 30 years, I gave gospel tracks out. And the Lord blessed. And I had to go to my friends, the people I knew, and to tell them what God had done for me. That wee gospel tract really went forth, and we send this Mournview tract distributors, and we send gospel tracts in Nigeria, the Philippines, all over the world. And the Lord has really blessed and has really encouraged us. And whenever I see people going into the football and see so much gambling and all that there is today, and how they need a Saviour. Oh, how we need to have compassion upon them. The Lord has great compassion upon the people. And how we need to have compassion. I remember before I was saved, I usually say this story, because sometimes, always in a meeting, you have senior citizens. And I do not like to pass the senior citizens by, because they have a very important role to play in life. And I remember whenever I was driving, going to a woman's house, and she said to me, son, would you like a cup of tea? And it was a real hot day, and I was smoking away, and I said, yes, I would. And she brought me into the house, and she got the tea and all, and these nice wee fancy cups, I could hardly get my finger into the cup. And it was so delicate, and had all these nice things, and it was lovely. And then, after she fed me, she pushed them away, and brought a wee gospel tract out. And in such a loving way, presented the gospel to me. Now, I've heard people presenting the gospel to me before in many ways. There's some people used to come and they used to fire gospel verse after gospel verse. My head was turned. I didn't know where to go. I didn't understand it. They were saying I'm not quick. It wasn't explained to me. And it just put me away. I just didn't want to go near the people. You will run miles with them. But there's many other people that presented the gospel in such a loving manner. And I remember that dear lady. Let me tell you, even matter how old you are, you see, there's no retirement in the work of the Lord. There's no retirement age, because there's always a work for you to do. Keep on praying, keep on witnessing, and the Lord will bless you for it. Remember, whenever I go out to the football, I always put the scripture coat upon me. And it always repent, always brings about repentance, warning men and women to repent of their sin. And then the other side, uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always put that gospel coat on me. Why did I do it? All those years ago. Whenever I used to go to Walthamstow Greyhound track, that man always done it. That man never had a word with me at all in any way. Yet that man is a great part of my life. I never forget him for that. I always think of him as I put my scripture coat on what a great encouragement that man is to me. Still is, and he's in heaven now. Maybe you're witnessing for the Lord. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on in the people's heart. We have to live a life as well pleasing unto the Lord. Most people today do not read the Bible, but they read the Christian. Are we good ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can people point at us and say, there goes a man of God, there goes a woman of God, there goes a boy or a girl of God? Can they say that to us? Are we living epistles for God? That man was. And even in the work in Walthamstow today, there's a Free Presbyterian work. And some of the people that go there are even related to that man that stood there in that island. Well, I'll never forget him. And as my life went on, I actually married that girl, that Quaker girl. I was married in the Quakers. And one of my burdens was for my friends, for those who I used to be with. And I remember whenever we got married, and at the wedding of one of my best friends, he was a very tough man. He's won medals in foreign countries for his fighting. Very tough. I've knew some tough gangsters and men in my day. I've met with them, worked with them. But this was a real tough man. And whenever I got saved, I had a burden to see him saved. It's good that Lord have a burden for your loved ones. I remember bringing him along to a gospel meeting in Portadown. Dr. Paisley was preaching. I was just sitting there, was near the front. His wife was there, and my wife Frances, and myself, and I was sitting beside Billy. And the gospel message went forth. As it come to the end of the message, where the Lord Jesus Christ was uplifted, men and women and boys and girls were told that they needed to be saved. That they had to get right with God and must come and repent of their sin. Billy was sitting there as the invitation was given, the tears coming down his face. The Holy Ghost was working in his heart. And even after the meeting, he said, Billy, get right with God. He says, John, I can't. Can't. Then later, whenever we did get married, my wife and I, at our wedding, Billy was there, and being my best friend, he was the last one person I seen, because in them days, you didn't go to the big Europa hotel for your honeymoon. You went to a caravan in Portrush. That's where we went for our honeymoon. And we had groceries and all in the back of the car. And of course, I left them in Billy's car and I forgot them, and I had to go back. I remember walking up the path and he says, come again, you can't leave me. And of course we went away to Port Stewart. When I came home after a week, I was down on my knees and I was praying that the Lord would save his precious soul. And I went along with others as well. And it wasn't long, I think I was still on my knees, whenever a phone call came. It must have been about half 11. And he says to come get round to Billy's as quick as possible. He was coming home. And I don't know what went on during the past week. He went home. And as he was walking home, someone came round the corner and shot him. And of course, they brought him to hospital. They brought him in. Of course, the people were gathered in the house and we had a time of prayer with them. I wasn't long saved at the time. And in the Lord's work. I remember praying. But then I can see Dr. McGuire coming in and saying, sorry, he's dead. In a gospel mission one time, saying no. Well, I don't know what had happened. Maybe something happened. Maybe he got saved before he died. I do not know. But let me tell you in the meeting tonight, if God is speaking to your heart, do not wait until tomorrow. Because you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. You mightn't even see it. Now is accepted time. You may go out tonight trampling over the blood of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. An opportunity to get right with God. An opportunity to have eternal life. To be saved. And you know it's a happy life. It's an exciting life. And I love the life now. All my gambling that I had, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I thought it was great excitement. But it's nothing compared to the excitement of being a child of God. And being in His service and being His work. It's the most exciting thing there is. I love to be in a child of God. Love to be in His family and serving Him. God speaking to you tonight. You'll not be missing anything. You get right with God tonight. You will have a better life. A better hope. Don't leave it. I have three sons. One of them saved and two of them are not saved. And this is a time for God's people of difficulty. God's people, so many around the churches, many people I've been talking to, we have families, and they're not saved. This is a big burden for us. This is reality. We have it. There's no good painting over it, but it's a reality. We have families, and they're not saved. What do? We'll pray for them. We'll pray. We think of Hannah. We'll read about her for Samuel in the Old Testament. She had a burden. She brought it to the Lord. And she heard him. Eli, the priest, was looking at her. And she, tears were coming down. She was crying. And she was pouring her heart out before God. She wasn't making it outwardly noise, but inwardly. And her lips were moving, but there was no sound coming out. She was silently praying before the Lord and bringing a burden. Eli thought she was drunken. And he went over to her. And she said, I'm a woman. She had a burdened soul. Sorrowful soul. Eli knew. Eli was the priest. He was the interceder. And he said to Hannah, may your God grant your prayer. She believed the voice of the interceder. And what happened to her? She went away happy. She believed that God was going to answer her prayer. And God did answer her prayer and gave her a man child, Samuel. Let me tell you, Christian friend, tonight, if you are like me and you have family, the old devil, especially from your Christian words, the devil loves to get out of your family. And I can tell you of many difficult times I've had. I give my mother and father, I suppose, when I look back, I give them difficult times. I have been arrested. I was put into Castlereagh for 3 days. I was only saved at the time. And it's an awful thing whenever your house is raided. I give them a hard time. But they brought it before the Lord. And they left it with the Lord. Now we're saved. All of my brothers are saved. Preaching God's word. Let me tell you, just do what I do and bring it before the Lord. Bring our prayer, bring our burden, bring our desire, and just leave it before God. Leave it before the altar. Don't take it back home with you again. As I bring my prayers for my family to God, I'll leave them there. And I believe that God is going to answer prayer. You know, sometimes we don't believe that God can do these things. Our God is a great God. He can do anything. There's nothing impossible with Him. Maybe you're a young Christian. You love to go into the Lord's work. You love to be a preacher. You love to be a missionary. You love to help in the Lord's work in some way. There's nothing impossible. Just leave yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, here am I, use me. You know, it's a great life to live. I pray that some young person will do this evening. Before I close, just let me say, the Lord has given you an invitation. And he's saying to you tonight, if you're not saved, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you have a burden, if you're still in your sin, I know what your burden's like. It can be hard and difficult. But we have the Saviour. Remember, he went to the cross. They put a crown of thorns on his beautiful brow. They put him on that cross, nails, his hands and his feet. They put it up into the socket, and the weight of the body of our Saviour on that cross, what pain he bore, what sufferings he went through. People had denied him. People betrayed him, mocked him, laughed at him, scorned at him. He died on that cross in Calvary. He done it so that you might be saved. We have the Saviour. He's not in that cross, neither is he in the sepulchre. But hallelujah, he's in heaven. It's a reality. He's in heaven. And he's on the Father's right hand. And he gives you that invitation tonight. Come. Are you going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You can even do it in your very seat. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to put your hand up. Just come and confess your sin to God. Repent of them. Forsake them and start and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great rest there is. What a great peace of mind there is when you know you're saved. No matter what goes through, no matter what happens in life, God was to take you. You'll be in heaven. What a wonderful place. You know, heaven's a wonderful thing. People worry about that. But why should you preach about heaven and not want to go there? And walk on that golden street. Wonderful thing, there's only one street in heaven. You'll never be able to get lost in it. Somewhere to look forward to going to. And you can be there too. If you only come and repent of your sin. Child of God, in these hard, difficult times, never give in, never give up. Bottle away. We have that great intercessor who's interceding for us. Why should we worry? Why should we be downcast? Hannah was. But then she believed in the intercessor. And her prayer was answered. She was a happy woman. May the Lord bless this testimony tonight, as some souls will be saved, and God's people will be blessed. Amen.